Podcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelius Prong speaking. We have seen how the Gibeonites, with whom Joshua had made a league or a covenant, appealed for help when they were threatened by the other Canaanite city-states. Because the Gibeonites had not supported them in the struggle against Israel, their neighbors considered them traitors, and they were determined to punish them severely. Joshua, however, immediately came to the rescue. After marching all night, the Israelites suddenly fell upon the allied forces of the Canaanites and soundly defeated them. The Lord himself visibly helped Joshua and his men, for it says in Joshua 10, verse 11, "And it came to pass, as they, the Amorites, fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword." But apparently not all the Amorites were killed by those great hailstones from heaven. Many managed to escape. When Joshua saw this, he became worried. The Israelites, with God's special help, had already killed many enemies indeed, but Joshua wanted to destroy them all, and that not out of a personal vindictiveness, but because these Amorites were God's enemies. Joshua had a great zeal for the Lord's cause, such as few, if any, have ever had since him. He knew that it was now or never. But the problem was that as they were pursuing the enemy, they were entering the narrow and steep mountain path leading to Beth Horon, which slowed the Israelites down, while it gave the Amorites a better chance to hide among the rocks and in the caves. Joshua knew that it would take more than a day to catch all of them, and realizing that the approaching night would enable the enemy to escape and regroup, he asked the Lord for another miracle. It says in chapter 10, verse 12, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." A most remarkable request this was. From the human point of view, this seems like something only a madman would ask. But even from a spiritual point of view, it would seem to be the height of presumption to present such a request to the Lord. Yet God did what Joshua asked here. It says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies." Perhaps there is no other passage in all of Scripture that has been held up to as much ridicule as this one. If anything proved the Bible to be a book of fairy tales, so the enemy says, it is this story of the sun and moon standing still. How absurd to believe that God, if he exists, would do such a thing. But even those who profess to believe in God and take his word seriously, they too have problems with this passage. Without questioning God's ability to perform such a miracle, many have wondered why he would slow down the earth's rotation, for that must have been what happened, scientifically speaking, merely to assist his people in defeating their enemies. But we should realize that this was not just another battle that needed to be fought, one of a series. It was rather a key battle in the Canaanite campaign, whose outcome would determine whether or not Israel would take over the promised land. Thus, what was at stake here was the integrity of God's promise. But not only that, at stake was also the vindication of his moral law. The Lord had, at one time, delayed the occupation of the land by Abraham's descendants, because, as he had told Abraham, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." But by Joshua's time, their wickedness and degeneracy were so pervasive and irreversible that the very survival of his own people depended on the extermination of these wretched people. Let us not forget, moreover, that Israel was the bearer of the promised seed. Christ, the Savior of the world, was to be born of her. And Satan, knowing this, sought to prevent Israel from settling in this land, any land for that matter. He was after the total destruction of God's chosen people. Therefore, God took extraordinary measures to ensure his people's safety, and he did not hesitate to suspend for a time even the ordinances of heaven in order that Joshua would have a day long enough to complete his crucial task. There was yet another reason for God to intervene in this most unusual way. The Amorites were worshippers of both sun and moon, and these heavenly bodies corresponded to the idols Baal and Ashtoreth, respectively. Baal, the sun god, symbolized generative power, and Ashtoreth represented fertility. The worship of these idols thus involved fertility rites with all kinds of lewd and obscene practices. Joshua, of course, knew this, and his request of God must therefore be seen also in this light. Joshua wanted to destroy the Amorites not only because they stood in Israel's way, but also to punish them for their idolatry and their wickedness. In other words, he was concerned about the glory of God by calling on the sun and on the moon to stand still, thus helping Israel rather than their enemies. It would be evident to the Amorites as well as to Israel that God was greater than their idols, for sun and moon obeyed him. Just as the miracles of Moses were directed against all the gods of Egypt, so thus this miracle, in answer to Joshua's prayer, humiliate the gods of the Canaanites before the eyes of all the world. It is noteworthy that the Bible is not the only ancient record of the long day. Traditions of a long day are quite common among early nations and tribes, as well as stories about a long night among the American Indians and the South Sea Islanders living in the Western Hemisphere. The great Jewish-Russian scholar Emmanuel Velikovsky gives abundant documentation of these traditions in his book Worlds in Collision, as have several other writers. It is difficult to account for the widespread incidence of such ancient stories unless they are based on an actual fact of early human history. We firmly believe that what Joshua 10 verses 12 to 14 tells us is historical fact, even if we had no evidence from early traditions to support this biblical record. The Bible alone is our infallible, inerrant authority, and we believe everything contained within its pages because the Holy Spirit has inspired its every word. To deny the possibility of this or any other miracle in the Bible is to deny the existence of God. That the earth should stop rotating on its axis for a time is no more difficult to believe than that it should start rotating in the beginning of the creation. The Creator who started it could also stop it, if he so desired. How great our God is! He controls all things, also the daily rising and setting of the sun. These do not occur by virtue of nature's blind instinct, but by virtue of the power of him who, in Job's words, commandeth the sun, and it riseth not. Job 9 verse 7. But this story is not only a testimony to the power and greatness of God. It also gives us some idea of the strength of Joshua's faith. Here was a man who had complete confidence in a miracle-working God. He believed God could do this, and also that he would. This last suggests that the Lord himself had put the prayer in Joshua's heart before his lips dared to utter it. As Matthew Henry says, the prayer had not been granted by the divine power if it had not been dictated by the divine grace. God wrought this faith in him, and then said, "According to thy faith, and to the prayer of faith be it unto thee." Joshua's faith showed its real nature when he dared to say with a loud voice, so all Israel could hear him, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. This shows he had also assurance of faith. Joshua could have believed God could do this miracle, and even that he would, but he could have waited quietly for it to happen. Then, if it had not happened, he would not have risked his reputation. That is how we often act. We don't want to stick our necks out. Just wait and see. That's our favorite motto. But Joshua was willing to stick out his neck, willing to lay his reputation on the line. Son, stand still, he shouted. People who believe God like this are never put to shame, especially if their main concern is not their own safety, but God's glory. Joshua was very zealous for the Lord's honor. He wanted all the earth to see how great his God was. Therefore the hailstones, welcome as they were not enough for Joshua. These could be seen and felt only by the Amorites near Beth Horon, but if the sun could be arrested in its circuit, and if the moon also could be stopped in its tract, all Canaan, yes, all the world could see that the Lord, He is God. Is there anything in Joshua's faith which we today might copy? Yes, there is. Not that you and I could imitate him to the letter. God will not cause the sun and moon to stand still again. But Joshua's example may fruitfully be followed in this sense, that we too may believe in God's power to save us from our enemies, and also to help us exterminate our corruptions which remain in us. I see Joshua's faith exemplified and imitated by blind Bartimaeus, who, when he heard that Christ was passing by, cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then we read, and Jesus stood still. At the request of a poor sinner who had put his trust in him, Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, stood still. That instant marked the end of Bartimaeus' night and the beginning of his long day. The light of the world shone into his soul. In this sense, you may follow Joshua's example too, and call on this sun to stand still, believing in his ability and willingness to dispel your darkness. Yes, believe his promise that unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. May God give us who love his cause the faith of Joshua, so we might lean wholly upon his power to save. God's holy name would be honored, and we would win great victories over sin. Amen.